is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely...
Me. I think I'm going to come in each time, different times, you know?
Are you?
Quicker.
I was just going to say the one with the short, fat, hairy legs.
I know. I'm so excited to see him today.
I know.
Because they have made us who we are today.
They certainly have.
Everything we are is because of them.
It is. And what's somewhat worrying is because Keith and Kate are actually on the show this week.
Who's going to tweet?
No, but the rest of our listeners have been ganging up looking for a gift war. They're all saying we're going to get our own back now they're on. And we're going to give. Yeah, so get those gifts coming in. As you've heard, we've got two fabulous guests to talk to in the first part of the show.
We're supposed to have four.
We're supposed to have four, but of course the other one's Nettie and her friend. So, of course, she will be fashionably late.
Hold on, what do you mean, Anna, a friend?
Yeah, which is...
It's not, is it?
Yeah, it is.
It's one of our clients.
No. It's someone else
from
Rift.
It's
their friend. No, well, I don't know if they're friends or not. We'll ask them when they get here. But they're
they have to lie, don't they, surely?
Yeah, Sarah's from Rift as well.
Oh, great name.
And of course, Rift is so far from our studio, like hundreds and hundreds of yards.
It's a bit mean, isn't it? It's a little bit further than yards.
But you know what Nettie's like. She's always fashionably late. She likes to make an entrance.
Well, and we like her doing so.
Absolutely. So I want to say a huge thank you. Oh, look, here she is.
Talk of the devil.
We're talking of the devil. We were just talking about you, Nettie.
It could only have been good.
Are you solo? That means are you on your own?
She'll be here in a bit. She's
worked
at
Rift.
Oh, well.
Anyway. Well, we'll... grab a microphone, Nettie, because we've just finished talking about Keith's experiences of hiring you some years ago.
30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You were 6 years old at the time.
Yeah. Wow, didn't he tell us some wonderful stories about what you got up to? It's a shame you weren't here to hear it and kind of put your tuppence worth
and
in.
And that bun 30 years ago.
Yeah, but...
It can't be 30 years ago, can it?
It must have been 1990, I thought.
Oh, my life.
I left... the bank's regional office in 91, so...
We worked at Hayward's... Was it Hayward's Heath?
Yeah.
Oh, regional my goodness. Office. Do you know what that
I interviewed in a cake shop in Rye.
Well, best place.
Something's ever changed.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, you missed all that. It was...
Well, sorry, I was there when it originally happened.
Oh, yeah, I know, that. But... Yeah.
I think it was us who missed it.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at Cyberfort Group. Defend, Advise, Detect. They're people that specialise in keeping you safe from cyber attack. Not just technical. One of the things they're very keen for you to understand is it's not just about the technology that you can that you need to keep safe. You know, your paperwork and all kinds of stuff needs to be retained safely as well. And, of course, with things like GDPR, that also does not just refer to technical databases. It refers to anything you write on a bit of paper too. So huge thank you to Cyberfort Group for sponsoring this week's show. We'd love to hear from you with your gifts, all the listeners out there in the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You could, in fact, call us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk, but by far and away the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me and use the hashtag #BeBunker. If you don't use the hashtag, we'll never find you amongst the gazillions of tweets we get every week.
And we do get, I know we laugh and we say we get millions or trillions, but
trillions.
We do get
a lot.
Thousands.
Hundreds. Dozens.
Of thousands.
Yeah,
more than 10.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a reputation to uphold here. It takes. Yeah. This has taken us years to be this slick.
Yeah. I know.
Yes, we do get a lot, and quite right, too, that we really risk. Really appreciate that.
And so it begins, right? Have you seen this?
No, go on.
Have you seen this? This is what you two started. Shame on Ethel Gray. I tell. Do you realise where my reputation has gone as a businesswoman? Look.
That's brilliant.
No, this is what you've done to me.
So, describe
look at them. They sit there with no...
I'm not being funny. They're not your legs.
They're not. How do you know that? They're too long.
We said we wouldn't discuss that.
How do you know they're not my legs?
Because your legs are there.
Okay. All right.
We've had a celebratory tweet as well on the arrival of of Nettie.
Yeah.
Which is also good.
Anyway, so the gifts are there. They're arriving thick and fast. Hairy, not so hairy, shaved. Who knows?
Who knows?
Keep them coming. Keep them
who
coming.
Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you what then, Bird.
What have you been up to? We haven't spoken about you for a little while.
No.
What have you been up to?
I've been keeping a low profile, haven't I?
I don't know. Why?
Yeah, I had a really interesting conversation yesterday, and I did a bit of TV stuff yesterday.
Just like you do.
Yeah, no, but it was interesting because it gave me an idea, because I've just opened an event space in Canterbury at Fruitworks, and we built a little stage in the event space.
What do you mean an event space?
It's a room for hire.
Okay, cool.
And you can use it basically for anything. So you could use it for training courses, you could use it for a seminar. It can handle up to 80 people, basically. Mm-hmm. We've already got a small training room that can do 10 to 12 people, but this is a slightly bigger space.
What made you do that?
We're so often asked to use it as a space, and we used to use it. It used to be part of a bigger coffee shop. And we used to use it, but it was confusing. So what we've done, there are arches down the middle. We filled the arches in and made it a separate room, and we're building a new coffee shop the other side. Yeah?
I'm absolutely amazed it's working.
What's working?
Your event space for 80 people.
Yeah, no, it's...
And I'll tell you why. It's right. Our biggest bugbearer, Nettie.
Yeah.
Annette, what is it?
Parking.
Yeah. But it's Canterbury. And Canterbury is a different beast to any other place. Canterbury's a university town. Nobody owns a car in Canterbury. They all skateboard, inline skate, pogo, hula hoop, walk, hop, crawl. They do not drive cars. It's seriously... If you...
What business people do you know?
No, seriously.
That?
To be honest, not the multi-story down. I mean, have you ever seen a car in it?
Yeah. This is. I'm deadly serious about this. Yeah. Fruitworks as a community workspace would never work in any other town because there is no parking. We have never, ever been asked for parking. We have 120 businesses in there, and nobody has ever mentioned parking to us as an issue. If you went anywhere else, it would be. It's just the nature of the place. And
I suppose it's like Oxford, Cambridge, that type of fortress town, isn't it?
It's all bicycles. We have
bicycles.
We have bicycle parking. We have a bicycle parking shed, yeah, full of bikes where people bicycle in. But the event space works, and we've been doing events there for a long time. We do a thing with a group called Free Range, who are a small troupe of travelling players. Yeah, there's three or four of them, and they do different things. We have open mic there. We have piano recital. We've got a grand piano there. We have piano recitals. We have poetry readings.
What event did you used to put on? Do you remember?
Create.
Was that the business event you used to
have? Yeah, Fruitworks Create.
I love that.
Yeah, we're starting that again because now we've got a space to do it. We stopped it because we filled the space up with people working.
But the thing you've got in Canterbury is you've also got the park and ride and things, haven't you?
Yeah,
you
do. Yeah,
people know about that. And
they'll
do that in advance.
It is the only place I know where you can get away with not having parking. Yeah, it's the only place I know, and nowhere else would it happen. But Canterbury is not a problem from that point of view. And parking is such a problem in Canterbury anyway. It's horrendous. I went there yesterday. It cost me £14 to park to go to work for 7 hours. It's ridiculous, isn't it? And they're talking about putting
the price up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's what we'd like to see.
Yeah. Anyway... what was I referring about? Oh, yeah, I did a TV thing in the event space because we've got a white wall and everything there and a stage and sofas and what have you. And I suddenly realised it's the perfect TV studio. What are you laughing at?
But gifts. Do you know what I mean? They're just coming through. Lisa Settle clearly is on it because
right. She's
just put the mind boggles and she's got your hula hooping in like a unitard. I mean, it's just people, we just have to do this. This is the best part of my week, I tell you, being on the radio. It's so funny. It makes me chuckle.
Oh, that looks like me as well.
Yep. Sunglasses. You got them sunglasses, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I used to have hair like that as well.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, so I've now got a TV studio to hire as well.
A what?
Well, you weren't listening to what I said, was it?
Well, I understood that you did some TV. I didn't realise that you had a studio there as well.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I suddenly realised with the stage and the white wall behind it and the lighting in there, it's a perfect stage for TV work.
So hold on a minute. Have you got cameras there? So literally we rent the space?
You just rent the space.
Okay, but I have to bring my own camera crew with me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But when you want to go and do your road show that we were talking about earlier on...
Oh, don't say that. I said it to you as like a tongue-in-cheek thing. How are you going to make it happen?
Now you've got a space.
They've been talking about doing a road show, Natty.
Yeah.
A road show? Why?
A road show.
A road show?
It's called Short, Fat, Hairy Legs on Tour.
In Manara.
Yeah. You can't do a road show in Canterbury. No one drives a car.
I see what you did there.
You're clever.
I see what you did there.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do a road show, you know, like the Radio 1 road show used to be. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I still love that.
We go around the coast, though, don't we?
I know.
Ooh, Gary Davis. Ooh, Gary Davis.
Yes. Yeah. I love the Radio
and
One.
One of the songs they used to do was Bicycle on it all the time. See, he's ahead of his time. They used to do the Bicycle song by Queen.
Really?
To preempt the like pop quiz. The Tom 10 questions. Surely you remember.
Well, we're the same age, so I should.
It's going to come on to Fat Bottom Girls next year.
All right.
Oh, you wait. You wait for the cheesy tunage. You just wait for the cheesy tunage. Right. Anyway. Shall we actually start this show then?
Should we do some business?
Shall we start this show? Do you want to read some of those tweets that are readable?
How many have you given me this week? What is wrong with you?
I've got more than you.
You never have more than me.
We've just been inundated this week. Everybody wants to tell us something.
But we tell people to tweet.
Yeah.
So why are they emailing?
Because it's longer than it fits in a tweet.
No, are you ready? Answer the question.
Yeah.
You ask them to tweet.
Yep.
And you've got paper. We've got a world to save.
Yeah. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The 8th Annual Bexley Business Excellence Awards in association, close your mouth, dear, with the Arcadia is now inviting agent entries after an inspirational launch event at the Engine House. Where's the Engine House?
Ah, there you go.
Is that in a train?
Bicycle rack.
I love it. The awards offer 12 free to enter categories and are open to businesses of all sizes and across all sectors in the borough. The 2020 winners, including the overall Bexley Business of the Year, will be exclusively announced at the glittering Black Tie Gala Dinner and Award Ceremony hosted by a celebrity compere. Is that you?
It isn't, actually, no.
It's been on the telly. It could have been.
Well, it isn't.
No? Okay.
No.
At Hall Place and Gardens on Thursday, June the 18th. Now, award sponsors also include, is it, oh gosh, I hate when I can't pronounce stuff, A-I-T-C-H-H?
H. With an A.
H.
No, H.
H.
And there's no H in.
Yeah, that's what I said, like an H.
H.
Yeah.
H.
Like the letter H.
Bird, you're good.
H.
Thanks. Without the
H. H. So I'm going to go. H Group, Bellway, Bexley, stop it. Bexley, I don't even want you in my eye line.
Somebody reported me for racial abuse of pirates.
No, they never.
Yeah, they did.
I saw it. I had that come through the other day about it.
Did you
see that?
Yeah, yeah.
Very bad. Are they a real thing anyway, pirates?
I don't know.
Crawford Greyhound Track, London South East Colleges Learning and Enterprise College, Bexley. They are supported by Bexley Times, DNS Frames, Made on a Mission, Mobile Bar Hire and Northgate Public Services. Do you know, of all of that, I want to know who are Made on a Mission. Anyway, I reckon they are cleaning service.
I was going to say cleaning.
Yep. www.wibblywobblyway.bexleyawards.co.uk. When you sat next to us, is it weird?
Really weird.
Is it?
Yeah, not for any other reason other than it's just weird.
Well, because they listen in every week, isn't
after it? After a while, you sort of get used to it.
Parallel universe, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I bring
She's
a degree
real.
Of sanity to the place.
Some silly.
It must be bad if that's what you're bringing in, Nettie.
Once a month.
That was an insult, by the way. I'm just saying to you, just in case you missed it.
Bothered? Not really.
Right. I've had a tweet from the lovely Deborah Turner.
There's nothing lovely about Deborah.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Oh, she always wears nice shoes.
She's got great shoes.
Great shoes.
If we're going to dissect the person behind every tweet on this show, we need to run the show for about 9.5 hours.
Everybody keeps asking us to do a 3-hour show and we said no.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the recording stops after 2, so... Anyway, the lovely Deborah Turner has tweeted, Vanilla Web, can I have a big business bunker shout-out, please, for the 4th of March? It's an event which is Breakthrough Women in Business, and it's at the Orangery, which is at Turkey Mill in Maidstone. And you can find out about it by going to Eventbrite. Hold on. And www.eventbrite.co.uk. It's not showing me the rest of it. You'll have to go to Eventbrite and look up Breakthrough Women to book your place. So it's the 4th of March.
Deb's, what is it, darling? Tree. Just can you tweet him, please?
Yeah. Don't, or you can follow Deb on Twitter, You Image you, Consult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on, what you got?
Oh, you want me to say more?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Seven Oaks Chamber meeting. Here we go. I'm putting myself back in a rhythm now. I was doing something else. Seven Oaks Chamber meeting, third Wednesday networking. And this is on February the 19th, which is tomorrow, 10:30 till 12. I can't go, clearly. Can you go tomorrow?
Why can't you go,
I can't go because I've got a show.
Have you?
Tomorrow. It's called The Conversation.
What
it's 1
is it?
Till 2.
1 till 2?
Yeah.
Who's your guest?
Well, we're talking about women's wealth tomorrow, wealth management and how to invest. And also, but more to the point, how to take that investment. That's what we're going to touch on. But we're going to look at subscription and membership sites.
Brilliant.
And how to put a bit of membership sites into your business.
Are you still making truckloads of money out of Bitcoin?
I was. Do you know what? I made a big error. Here's the funny thing about Bitcoin. Did you see it last week? It went through the roof. I should have sold. And now it's gone back down just a touch. So it'll come back up and then I'm going to sell a bit.
Did you hold?
I held.
Okay.
Yeah, I should have sold.
Sold a bit.
I should have sold a bit.
Not all of it.
Yeah, I should have sold. Yes. Anyway, thank you. I am making absolute bucketfuls.
Do you want to go out later?
Can do, love, if you want. Yeah. Here we go. We hope you can join us for our first Westrum Business Networking meeting of 2020 from 10:30 till 12 at Valence School. The meeting is kindly sponsored by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. Adrian Witchcord, Associate Solicitors, will be talking all things property. Interesting, because it seems to be a big up again now, is property buying, selling, flipping.
Yeah.
Can you make a bit of, what do they call it? Not that it is, passive income.
Yeah.
The Seven Oaks and District Chamber of Commerce team, and you need to, where am I looking at? There is an email address here, info@sevenoakschamber.com, or you can go onto their website, which is www.sevenoakschamber.com, and then put event, and then their Valence School.
Fantastic. Chips and Dinks have tweeted, have a great business bunker show. With the guest you've got on, you're going to smash it today, is what they said. And he's only saying you're going to smash it because he knows Amanda's been up to it again and we need Chips and Dinks to come and repair the car.
Keeps them in business.
Yeah.
Well, actually, talking about Ms. Flanders, she's put Networkers Networkings up again. It's really exciting. It's good to see. This is starting. She's put, hi, Vanilla Web, Bird and the Bike. Please remind everyone, early bird tickets are currently still available for the first Networkers Networking event of 2020. So much going on the 18th of March. So you can read the email now, please.
I'm really looking forward to this because it's really
different.
You've
got an email to read, apparently.
Yes, I have. I'll read it later.
She says no.
I can't find it at the moment, but I just want to talk to you about Networkers Networking because it's really different. She's got a really unique...
She's got an email about it there.
I know she's got an email about it. Shut up, getting me in trouble. Yeah. What I'm trying to tell you is, though, there's something really different going on at this one. She's got an escape room going on.
That is.
Ooh. Yeah, that's going to be really good fun. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be good. I got an email about it.
Not a tweet?
No, I got an email.
An email?
She got a tweet. I got an email. I'm going to read the email later, Nettie.
You need to find it quick,
is it
I tell
long?
You.
Yeah.
While I'm reading this, I'll help you out, bail you out.
Oh, thank
you. Find it.
Okay.
Here we go. Women in Business Luncheon. Our luncheons are held each quarter in locations around Kent. Ta-da! You will hear a wide range of speakers covering all areas of business who will not only share their stories and experiences, but give an insight into what has worked for them and what didn't work for them. More importantly, you can take away and apply into your business. It's guaranteed that you will not only have learning things, but will make a difference as well. Really interesting. Anyway, we'll talk about this in a minute. And also, you can have fun.
Fantastic.
Hold on a minute. It's £33 plus VAT. It includes a two-course lunch, two fantastic speakers. It's at Chilston Park Hotel. I love Chilston as an event. www.kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk. It's on the 19th of March.
Fantastic.
Does it say who the speakers are?
It doesn't.
Oh.
But I will find out because I know.
They're normally good.
Mm. Mm. They are, because I've spoken there a few times.
Yeah, I said they're normally good.
She's on it today.
She's being right near the knuckle today, isn't she? You know why that is, isn't it? Because we started on her when she came in, so she's getting her own back. I've got an email here.
What's that about?
It's about the Networkers Networking event.
Oi.
Haven't we just done that one?
Well, no, because it was just a tweet. But you know that the success of this was all about one thing.
What's that?
It's like comedy, isn't it?
Is it?
It's all about the...
Uh-oh.
Timing.
How did that go?
He missed it.
Yeah. The what?
Go on.
The Networkers Networking event is back Wednesday the 18th of March, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Eastwell Manor at Ashford. A full-day event that's all about networking to help business owners to understand how to make their networking more effective and efficient. We all know networking is one of the best methods for making new connections, meeting other business owners, starting great collaborations, gaining new clients, and subsequently ensuring that your business builds and grows. But do you know how to be most effective and efficient with your time whilst you're networking? Join us to learn more. The theme of the first event is marketing, and the day will include two speakers, the lovely Tabitha Beasley, the marketing assistant, with some top tips to marketing your business for free. And we're also going to hear from Mike Hacker, otherwise known as Hacks of Prisma Broadcast, capturing great video footage for your marketing, how to put together a pitch for your business using video content. There's a networking activity. You'll be solving clues and puzzles with team building company Escape on Site. I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, the round tables. And the round tables in the last two or three events we run were really, really good fun as well. Covered a lot of different subjects. So you'll be able to discuss the business subjects that mean the most to you. There's lots and lots of networking. You can book and join for the whole day, or if you prefer, you can book without lunch, or you can just book to pop in at any time that suits you. So there's a number of different ticket options, and the tickets all start from £15. And there's actually an early bird discount available. If you want to find out more or to book your place, go to www.evexio.co.uk/whatson.
Nice. You haven't done it yet. We're really late today on it.
What?
Your cheesy tunage.
I'm going to do it now.
What?
I picked a piece of cheesy tunage that absolutely no one is going to get the connection. I'm not even sure if Keith and Kate will get a connection here.
Go on then, try us.
No, we'll see what you think. It's the Hughes Corporation.
Do
you know what it's called? Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat, I don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat, I don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Ever since our voyage of love began, your touch has thrilled me like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me. Our love is like a ship on the ocean. We've been sailing with a cargo full of love and devotion. So I'd like to know where you got the notion. Said I'd like to know where you got the notion. Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Up to now, we sailed through every storm, and I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through. Love is like a ship on the ocean. We've been sailing with a cargo full of love and devotion.
the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat. Ooh, rock the boat. Rock on with your betty. Rock the boat. Rock on.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, don't rock the boat. I don't think anybody, even Keith didn't get it, to be honest.
Eventually dropped. It eventually dropped,
but I did have to explain.
That's because it's not a boat, it was a ship.
It was a ship, I know, but it was near enough, wasn't it? I didn't have songs about ships.
Sure, Keith's not happy about that.
Yeah, I was going to play Sailing, but that lasts for 22 minutes, so I wasn't going to play that. But for those of you that don't know, our first guests on the show this week are the lovely Kate and Keith Merrin of Athol Bray. And Athol Bray, the name of their company, is named after
a ship.
Not a boat, a ship. Yeah.
Because a boat can go on a ship, and a ship can't go on a boat.
Right, okay. Is that how it works?
Apparently so.
What do you do with your canoe?
I can canoe, can you?
I'm not going to answer that.
I know what she was going to say there. I saw her about to say that. And I don't think it would fit, Kate.
No.
hey, listen, look, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Keith and Kate Merrin from Athol Bray. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Why don't you kick off by telling people about Athol Bray? You can start with a ship if you want. But tell us about Athol Bray and the kind of things you do, and then we kind of progress from there.
Shall I go? Okay, I'll go. Athol Bray's been going just on 22 years now. Keith started the business back in 1998. We do training and coaching for staff of all levels.
Right.
So from people coming into the business right up through to executive level, all over the country.
Right.
And so throughout the UK and Ireland. Ship reference is my dad was in the Merchant Navy,
right?
And his first command was the Athol Bray in 1956, and she was a low-bottomed vessel that used to go up the estuaries in the Caribbean to bring the molasses back to Georgetown that would then get sent back over to the UK.
Wow, okay.
And when we wanted to start the business, we wanted something different. We didn't really want Keith Merrin training. Lovely as he is, we thought we'd do something a bit
boring.
Different.
Boring.
Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
Those were the days of Yellow Pages. So we came quite high up the listings. So that's where we got the name from and the sort of connection connection with the business.
And it's an unusual name, and it's got a lovely history.
Yes.
And it's nice to explain the history, isn't it? When people go, well, how do you think of that then?
Yes, yeah.
We have the nameplate from the funnel in the office.
Yeah.
That was actually in his house for a number of years.
Right.
Now there. And actually somebody sent us the Rice drawings of the ship.
Wow.
Because they found us on the internet, and they sent the original drawings, which are about 6 feet long.
Right.
And all hand-coloured in for different ballast sizes.
Wow.
Of course, these days it'd be a press of a button, and it just changes. But it's all hand drawn.
But it was all my dad's writing for when she was out on her trials. And
do you know what became of the ship eventually?
She was decommissioned in the early 70s,
right?
And then broken up, which is when my dad got the nameplate,
right? Okay,
which he left to us.
So you've been in business over 20 years, offering a range of training and support services. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the kind of things that you focus on and how you do that and how you go about doing that?
A lot of our work seems to be with new managers.
Right.
So many companies seem to promote somebody who's good at their job.
Yeah.
And as a reward for that, get promoted. And, of course, their comfort zone is the doing, not managing. So when it all goes horribly pear-shaped, they resort to rolling their sleeves up and getting things done rather than actually giving direction and delegation and leading.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff we do is around either one-day programs or up to sort of 12, 13 dates over the course of a year for new managers. Works incredibly well, and it just gives people the confidence to manage people, because often they're given that job and the manager assumes by saying you're now a manager that they suddenly have all these skills just metamorphosized into their brain.
It's really weird, isn't it? We used to call that the accidental manager.
And
it's really weird, isn't it, how we confuse a set of skills with a reward mechanism. I've been around a long time, and as far back as I can remember, it was happening, and it still happens, and everybody goes, yeah. But nobody ever changes the structure of what they do. It's really interesting, isn't it? I wrote a paper once that said, why can't you have managers that have management skills and plug them into a system where they don't necessarily earn more or have any greater say than the people they look after? They're just exercising the skills, and the skills are the ability to look after other people, especially in a technical setting, because one of the worst things that happened, my background is in IT, is making IT techies managers. Oh, it's just... you might as well stick pins in your eyes in some extent, you know, because the skill sets are radically different.
Well, some of the sales, isn't it? I mean, very often sales, good salespeople who are inherently selfish, self-focused, go-getters become managers who need to be cuddly, warm, encouraging.
Yeah.
A total difference in terms of their makeup.
Yeah. So you end up with a poor salesman and a poor manager. So it's interesting that after all this time, you guys are still putting a lot of effort into putting that right, basically.
And it happened long beyond when we finished doing that, I suppose.
And I think the thing is that, you know, it's been interesting the last probably 2 or 3 years, because we do quite a lot on the mental health training and the well-being and culture, and that's really coming into it. And I think that the really nice thing is that people are now seeing an investment and actually looking after their people on a holistic approach that is right across the whole board. It's not just going in, doing a one-day course and expecting them to then have the skills to go away and deliver it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A lot of organisations now are starting to focus on the overall wellness of their staff, quite rightly too, not just from a human point of view, but from a productivity point of view. Yeah, I mean, we lose so many days through mental health issues. It's unbelievable. So, you know, putting people under stress, getting them to do things that they're not capable or trained to do is one of the worst ways of using the resources you have.
Well, we're working with a client at the moment that they want some sessions on for their managers who have been through a management program, but they want to work with people who are having to deal with staff who are bereaved, who have had a serious illness diagnosis, who have got dyslexia and dyspraxia.
Yeah.
They want to be able for their managers to be confident in starting those conversations and supporting them.
Yeah.
And having that across the board.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really lovely to see. And we're very fortunate in that the number of we've got 25 trainers and associates who work with us who have all got different skill sets.
Yeah.
You know, so the people who are going in who do our mental health and our wellbeing training, they have those skills because they've been trained in those areas.
Yeah, sure.
Go in and do that.
And you're absolutely right, Kate. It's it's staggering how so many people, because they lack the ability to deal with it, kind of just ignore it or try and brush it under the carpet, or worse, you know, tell people to pull themselves together and get their act together. It's phenomenal how we kind of get scared, I guess, about handling things like that.
I think one of the things is that people are worried about saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't say anything at all because, as you say, that's the option.
And without going off at a tangent, that is, for me, one of the things that is going so badly wrong at the moment, where the media and social media are now leaping over words that people use and taking huge offence at any word that's used out of what is perceived as the context to use it in now. And we can't carry on like that. You can't carry on not being able to say what you feel or think because you can't get the words in the right order or you can't use the right terminology. You know, all you're going to have happen is so many people are just going to be ignored because people don't want to offend anyone.
I think some of it comes down to the fact that people are being so careful about what they say that they're saying nothing.
We've
lost that ability to have a discussion with somebody and agree to disagree.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that, okay, you think that, I think something completely different. And that's fine, that we're never going to agree, but to do it in a constructive way and to keep that respect.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, some of the training we do is around conflict management and things. Mm. And you look and you think, actually, this should never be an issue.
Yeah.
You know, people should be able to deal with a lot of this just purely by the fact that, okay, we're different and we have different views.
But it's, I totally agree with you. But it's not only about agreements and disagreements. Sometimes it's just picking up on your choice of words to describe something. That's what really frightens me. That I saw one the other day. I won't go into it because I'll probably get it wrong. But somebody described another person in a perfectly nice and supportive way. They were just talking about a friend of them and they described them in a particular way. And at least a dozen people went, you can't call them that. Yeah, that's not how we refer to people in our group anymore. And they go, oh, maybe I shouldn't speak to them then.
But the big danger is that everything gets so sanitised and becomes so narrow that it just all then sort of merges together.
Yeah.
You know, and people are afraid to say anything in case it gets reported back.
The problem,
as you say, with social media is that you can trawl back X number of years and find something someone said.
Oh, yeah.
Take that snippet out of context and all of a sudden that person becomes down by it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to tell the story because I'll get killed. But I used to have a mate at school who we had a nickname for, and absolutely everybody, including his own parents, used that nickname for him. If I called him that now, I'd be in prison quicker than, your feet could touch the floor. But sometimes you forget, you know, you're reminiscing, and I actually bumped into him in a pub. And I actually shouted out his nickname. Ah, and everybody looks at me like, big mistake. Absolutely. But let's go back to the work of Athelbray and the great stuff that you guys are doing. So you're doing a lot of first-time management work in getting people into understanding the skills of management. For you guys, what are the base skill lines? What are the kind of things that you see that most people need to develop in their role as a manager or a supervisor for the first time?
I think a lot of it hinges around communication for the reasons we've just been talking about, but actually having the confidence to say to somebody, you need to be doing this, and actually asking someone the question. And I think every company has this fireproof member of staff who's got away with everything for years because people won't approach them.
Yeah.
And, of course, it just continues, and you get a new manager.
Alan, he's talking about you again.
Pick a name and just put it in there. But it's true that actually having the confidence to address it, because if that person's in your team, and very often they get passed around teams because they're a problem.
Yeah.
But if you're the person who has to deal with it, you need the confidence to address it.
Yeah.
And as soon as you show any sign of weakness, the other person then just links on it and comes at them. So communication's key, the whole delegation process, picking up sort of managing underperformance issues. And I think also managing top performance.
Yeah.
Because people often spend an awful lot of time managing the underperformers.
Yep.
And their star pupils never get looked at.
Yep.
So actually managing high achievers is one of the key things that you need to understand as a new manager.
Yep.
But it can be quite difficult to measure the effectiveness of, of management training. Mm. I mean, sales training's relatively easy. You sort of measure sales pre-training and post-training, and there's a correlation. But we just finished a big management program with one of our big clients in Folkestone, and it's been bookended by their staff engagement survey.
Right.
And also some self-assessment by the delegate and their line manager.
Yeah.
And there is lots of evidence that shows that they have, A, developed in confidence, and B, their teams have seen them develop in confidence and actually become better managers.
Yeah.
And that cuts down staff absence, increases motivation.
It improves productivity.
Yeah. So it has a measurable benefit that often you can't measure because it's one of these inert elements.
But absolutely. And, it would be great if we could measure everything, but you can't. And there are a lot of things that are just immeasurable. Yeah.
But we do know that the percentage of people leaving their jobs is greater, and they leave jobs because they do not want to be with their boss anymore. So they don't leave the job, they leave the boss.
Yeah, yeah.
So we know that percentage is a ridiculously high percent.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can you intervene and get that process either? I mean, you know, that person might be in the wrong job for them. But that boss still needs to be able to talk to them and say, look, how can we make you thrive in this environment?
Yeah.
Not necessarily happy, because they just might not be that.
Or alternatively, how can we find you an environment to thrive in that isn't here, because this isn't working for you? Yeah.
And I think the balance of that is that the recognition that there are some people in every business that are happy where they are. They're not looking for the promotion. They're not looking for the advancement. Yeah. They love what they do, and that's where they want to be. And they shouldn't be ignored in their own development for that.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily going to go up the organisational ladder.
It's interesting that you say that. A thousand years ago, at least 1,000 years ago, I did some consulting work with a group that were called Kingston Consulting, and they did a huge survey and produced a report, which I used for years and years after that. They identified 7 traits of people, primarily at work, but in other contexts too, are the kind of things they wanted. So the traits were things like power, autonomy, and the big one was a sense of belonging. And those people that were driven primarily by a sense of belonging didn't want to go anywhere, didn't want to improve, didn't want to grow. They just wanted to be. And they wanted to be part of a team. And once they were part of a team and accepted, that was the level that they wanted to function at. And those people are important. Mm. It can be important to have people that are satisfied with what they do and aren't trying to move and do something different.
But the skill to manage those people is a different skill totally, because then, as you say, they won't be rewarded by promotion.
Yeah.
So they have to keep them happy.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what, is it last week you were talking about Maslow?
Yeah.
And actually that being part of a team and being included is one of the key things.
And for me, that is absolutely crucial, that you understand the people that you're dealing with, because we do, you're right, we use these things as some kind of thing, as some kind of carrot, and when it doesn't work, we just think there's something wrong with the person. We go, well, hold on a minute, I've offered you this, I've offered you that, and you're still not happy.
But everybody gets to that level. It's called the Peter Principle, and the Peter Principle is where you become incompetent at the level that you rise to. So we all get to that point where we're like, I either need to get skills.
Yeah.
This isn't the place for me.
Yeah.
Or I need to reach out to somebody and say, look, I'm, and that's a really vulnerable place to be. Mm-hmm. So how do we teach and how do we support that in a culture that maybe that culture is not set up for that?
Mm.
How do you cope with, because you're coming into first time managers, how do you cope with a culture that doesn't support what you're trying to teach?
It's something I think that, in most cases, not all cases, but I think most cases, I think the companies that approach us to come in and help them have probably gone beyond that. And I think it's almost the unmeasured element. The companies that you're referring to probably don't see a value in training, therefore don't train.
Yeah.
So it's almost become self-fulfilling.
Yeah.
We were invited, going back many years, probably not quite 1,000, but certainly 750 years ago, very early on.
I know it wasn't 1,000 because I didn't bump into you anywhere.
But we were asked to go into a meats processing company to quote for some management training.
Yeah.
And did all the various analysis and talked about the sort of things we could do. And the view was, no, we don't want all this soft, cuddly stuff. And as it's radio, you can see my fingers now going around the word soft, cuddly. We want you to train our managers to shout and scream at staff to get things done.
Yeah.
And I said, but that's not the way to do it. Well, it is here. And we actually walked away and didn't quote because it didn't fit with our values.
Yeah.
But, so you know what they probably would have done? Had in-house management training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do you see the difference between in-house management and what you can bring to that company or that culture?
I think an awful lot of the time it's something that we have this conversation with clients and they say, well, we've had our people go in and talk to our staff a number of times and they're still doing whatever they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
But you get someone outside who has this this label as an expert come in and says the same thing and people then take it on board.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in many cases it's there, and I think that there is a blend. I mean, we've got a new program again with the same client in Folkestone where it's, I think, 14 modules. We're doing 8 of them, they're doing 6 of them. It's a blended approach.
Nice.
So there are things that I think we can bring add value to, and there are things that link into their processes around the sort of financial side, the procurement side, the sort of internal systems that we can't add value to because all we do is learn their system and then relay it back. So it's far better for them to then add the value to it. Mm. So I think that blended approach works well because I think it best of both worlds.
It comes back to what we were saying before about communication, because there's an awful lot of communication that goes on about what it is that they want, what they think they want.
Mm.
And sometimes the people who are commissioning the training think that something's needed and the people on the floor actually need something very different. So it's, you have to have those conversations. And I think the danger with a provider going in, doing the training and walking away is there's never any follow-up. There's never any seeing if it's being embedded. One of the things that we're very proud about is that we do work in that partnership. You know, we go in. They may not take training from us. We may find another provider for them, but it's understanding the business and what's needed, and it's all about that.
Cool. So we've talked a lot about leadership and management training. There is a whole range of other stuff that you guys do, and it's good to talk about leadership and management because there is still one of the big areas where we do need this, but there are a lot of other kind of things you do. So just touch on some of the other areas that you're providing training in at the moment.
One of the things that we spoke about a little while ago was recruitment training.
Yeah, absolutely.
That actually recruitment is done often on first impressions within 25 seconds.
Let me paraphrase you there, Keith, because you don't need to say this. Recruitment is god-awful in this country. Yeah, the vast majority of people haven't got a clue how to write a job advert or to interview anyone. I'm just saying.
Right. I don't even know where that came from. Honestly, Keith, I'm so sorry about that.
That came from 20 years of experience of dealing with people that do the wrong thing.
Don't you sometimes wish Paul would just say what you think?
Yeah. Your face then was a classic. We're just sat here and you were like, boom.
Yeah. Anyway, Keith.
Carry on, Keith. Anyway.
Keith and I had a conversation about this a while back. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right, because very often somebody leaves and you then pull the advert out, dust it off you last time.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, if you look at the person's specification
and
get that right, and many companies, I think, overlook the importance of that and the time you spend doing that, and then you can cut and paste that into the advert and the interview questions.
Yeah.
But actually training people to look objectively.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you're saying about people leave because of the manager.
Yeah.
Often, I think recruitment is done based around technical skills and experience because they're actually easier to measure. If you look at a CV or an application form, it says you've done 3 years here and 2 years there and you've got all these skills. But actually, people will often get hired on those and fired an attitude.
Yeah.
You know, that people get thrown out of a business not because they won't do something. Not because they can't do something. It's because they actually won't do something.
Well, one of the funny things, I don't know if you've come across this, but one of the funny things that always struck me that I used to see quite a lot is you'd hire someone based on experience, but when they got there, they'd go, oh, we never used to do it like that in my last place.
Yeah. and actually try and change.
And they try and change what you were doing anyway. So it was pointless trying to hire on experience to a large extent. Yeah.
We have a great program. We actually bring in actors.
Mm.
So we have a 2-day program we run and did one last year. Where sort of day one is all the understanding of it, and then day two is actors with a CV and a backstory.
Yeah.
And if you ask the right questions, you get the right answers.
Yeah.
And one of these characters we've developed has these serious issues that he's trying to hide because you don't come in and tell people how bad you are.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a dual purpose of an interview.
Yeah.
That the candidate wants to hide their weaknesses, the interviewer wants to find out what they are.
Hmm.
But if you ask the questions, it suddenly comes out that he's an absolute nightmare in the job.
Right.
But it's such a powerful day.
Yeah.
And people dread it because people hate the idea of A, actors, and B, filming.
And role
I like that because you're not asking that you're not asking everybody to role play. You're just in that environment of how would you deal with this. So I like that.
Yeah. And actually, it always scores highly at the end. You know?
Yeah.
People hate the thought of doing it, but love having done it. And it's such an advancement. And almost to see that sort of that penny drop moment. Yeah.
Well, I think it's probably because you're scared of getting it wrong and you probably know you will get it wrong. Mm-hmm. So those two things, you're setting yourself up to go into failure mode, aren't you?
But I think I think good trainers can create a safe environment that you can try these things out and you can get it
and
wrong.
And you make it fun and you give people techniques to go, okay, I never thought of that.
It's the light bulb syndrome.
Yeah, it is. And that kind of neatly ties the circle because the reason that most interviewing and recruitment processes are so bad is because people are scared of it. They don't know what to do. They, you know, which is why they ask the same trite questions all the time. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Or any other silly cliche that they ask you because they can't think of what to ask you because they didn't start at the right point anyway, which is by specifying who they want.
Exactly right. Yeah. And then you link into the sort of trends you see on the internet about, we'll ask people what they would be if they were an animal or a fruit. Yeah, and they have no correlation towards good performance.
A fruit. I've got to do that one. Yeah.
We have one that a company we work for and they wanted the question that they wanted was, if you were a cheese, what cheese would you be?
Yeah.
And all you would get was people look and think, I've got no idea. I don't know where that came from. And it has no bearing on any ability.
I'll go camembert because I smell.
Well, that was the sort of... And you would get some people that would sort of try and do something very...
Avant-garde,
I'm Mont d'Or. Say the cow that on the Mont d'Or side of a mountain.
Yeah.
The whole thing appeals to the creative mind. And if you've got a job that needs creative thinking, it's acceptable, but I think there are better questions to ask.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a job where you're actually in an office doing a processing function,
yeah,
you don't want that creative mind. You want someone who actually can move paper from side A of the desk to side B of the desk.
What if you don't like cheese?
Yeah, yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Well, then you don't get the job.
This is when you're going into a cheese factory and they ask you that question. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Be prepared.
Not that old chestnut again. Come on, up your game.
But also, you wouldn't want them, would you? Because they wouldn't pinch any cheese, so you'd know that they were good, honest people if they didn't like cheese in a cheese
factory. I think you're overthinking this, Nettie.
I don't think so.
Keith's thinking, why did I mention the cheese? Kate's thinking, who are these people?
This random cul-de-sac we've now gone down.
But you're absolutely right. And for me, you know, Keith and I spent some time talking about this because it's something that I see has a huge impact at the moment. We have a skills crisis in this country where it's really hard to fill jobs, and we're never going to fill jobs if we don't specify what we're looking for and we don't be creative about what we're looking for and how we're looking for it. You know, if you keep on asking the same questions, you're going to keep on getting the same response, which is nothing. But it all starts for me with understanding who you want realistically.
Yeah.
And so many people don't do that. You know, they ask for silly things that probably aren't even necessary. But even if they were necessary, they ain't going to get because they don't offer something that would attract that kind of thing. You know, I'm thinking about the kind of people that say, you know, we want 10 years experience, the first from Oxford, and we're paying 12 grand a year. And you go, yeah, okay.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's the analogy, isn't it? I mean, we often use the one about football. You know, if you're a local club, say Maidstone or Gillingham, and you want a striker, and you create a person spec with Kevin De Bruyne in mind.
Yeah.
Who will only come to you at 500 grand a week.
Yes.
You know, it's never going to work.
He's a footballer, Nettie.
You have to be realistic. You're right. With what you pay, what you're expecting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the other thing that holds companies back is where you then specify must have experience of a similar industry.
Yeah.
And I think an awful lot of public sector are guilty of that, where you say that you must have worked in a local authority before, but you suddenly shut down 98% of the people who might apply for the job, and you just get people moving around the local authorities.
Yeah.
But actually you can say, we can get people in, we can train. You know, as a trainer, I can train technical skills, I can't train attitude.
Exactly.
You get that right, it works.
Yeah.
But we hear that all the time. Mm. I'm still not seeing it put in practice.
No. It happens in pockets.
Mm.
I think there are companies that we've been into to train that I think are doing it well. I think there are so many that are, again, based on first impressions.
Yeah.
And the whole sort
so
of...
So interesting.
It's It's just weird, isn't it, that we keep on doing these things, it doesn't work, yet we keep on doing them over and over and over again.
McDonald's have the best training ever. McDonald's,
yeah.
They literally do not want to know what you know. They go, this is the way you do it.
Yeah.
Thank you for your opinion, but this is the way you do it.
Yeah.
And it, so it doesn't matter what experience you come with, but it matters who you are as a person to come.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm. Guys, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out about you, your company, and the training, because you do public courses as well, do you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. If they want to find out about that, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is to go and have a look at the website, which is
www.worldwideweb.
Thank you very much. Athelbrey.co.uk. Or give us a call on 01892 832059 or drop us an email, either kate@athelbrey.co.uk or fran@athelbrey.co.uk. And we mentioned last week about being family business.
Yeah.
Essentially, the office is three of us, so you will speak to either Keith.
Four.
Four with the dog.
Jeff as well.
No, yeah. Five.
Oh, yeah.
With Connor as well.
But, yeah, Connor doesn't really do it.
He's listening at the moment.
He is listening at the moment, yeah. But he'd probably just blow raspberries at you. which Keith
but that is a very apposite thing to do.
But, you know, you will speak to one of the three of us, so and we're always happy to talk about. If we can't help, we'll find somebody who can.
Fantastic. Keith, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom now, and then when we come back, we've got some more guests to talk to. Here we go.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.
A British couple on a cruise ship in Japan say they believe they've tested positive for the coronavirus. David and Sally Abel have been keeping people updated.